From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Humans are not the only animals who've had to quarantine in the hopes of avoiding a potentially deadly virus. A contagious strain of avian flu is devastating flocks of birds across the U.S., with consequences for farmers, both hobbyist and commercial flocks, to take measures to contain the spread. About 31 million birds are dead so far. And the strain has hit 1 in 10 egg-laying hens across the majority of states. According to the CDC, the mortality rate among chickens is 90% to 100%, and often within just a couple of days. Here in Illinois, the Department of Natural Resources is recommending everyone remove bird feeders and bird baths from their backyards through the end of May or until the flu subsides in the Midwest. This is just one of the many solutions wildlife experts are advising to minimize threats from the virus. Joining us now to talk more about the illness that's hitting Illinois birds is Dr. Mark Ernst, State Veterinarian and Division Manager for Food Safety and Animal Protection at the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Mark, welcome to the 21st Show. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Annette Prince, Director of the Chicago Bird Collision Monitors. Annette, welcome to the 21st to you as well.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
And listeners, we want to know if you have birds on your property, maybe, or if you own some chickens, what questions do you have about the avian flu and its effect on Illinois poultry and birds in general? You can join the conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455, or tweet us at 21st Show, at 21ST Show. So, Mark, can you begin by talking about this strain of avian flu? What do we need to know about it? How is it being transmitted?
Well, I think, as you said earlier, the most important thing is it's a very, very infectious strain of the virus with high mortality, high morbidity in our domestic poultry. We've had our eye on this virus throughout the wintertime. We noticed that there were cases in Europe, and as winter progressed then, early this spring, USDA Wildlife Services began to notice that the virus was detected up and down the East Coast in the Atlantic Flyway. And then, of course, as we all know, it's progressed into the Mississippi Flyway and the Central Flyway as well with the migratory waterfowl.
So what kind of, you said migratory waterfowl, what kinds of birds are being most affected by this?
Well, migratory waterfowl, geese, ducks, tend to be carriers of the virus. They can actually die from the virus, but in a lot of cases, they're carriers. However, our domesticated poultry are, like I said, are highly affected by it. And the outcome with them when they get infected virtually is 100% mortality.
Annette, I understand some cases of avian influenza are what's considered low pathogenic, while others are considered highly pathogenic. Can you just talk about what are the signs of illness in birds? What should people be looking out for?
Well, the disease that we're talking about now is the highly pathogenic form of it. And basically that means that it's, you know, it causes severe disease. And so what we've seen in our domestic poultry in a lot of cases has just been sudden death. Owners will check their poultry in the evening and come out the next morning and have, you know, one or more dead birds. On the low pathogenic side, you may see signs such as just decreased feed consumption, maybe a little bit of a decrease in production, but we don't see the death loss that we see in the highly pathogenic form.
Okay. Annette, let me bring you into the conversation now. What is your team doing at the Chicago Bird Collision Monitors to encourage, you know, proper safety and sanitation for people who are around birds like this?
Well, our group largely deals with songbirds, and that is a group that is considered to be less susceptible, less likely to be a candidate to contract and spread the bird flu. But we are certainly implementing the highest levels of protection that we normally would use, and especially that we use during the period of COVID, of keeping birds minimizing the amount of handling people are doing of birds, keeping birds separate, making sure that there's a hand sanitizing that goes on after handling birds. And even though there is, it's typically something that won't infect humans, we're making sure that people have limited contact with the birds they're handling. And at the wildlife center where our birds go, the wildlife centers are keeping any bird that comes in of concern separated, isolated until it's been diagnosed so that there isn't spread to other patients. We are asking people to, in their homes, where the Illinois Department of Natural Resources is asking people for the remainder of the month for May to have their bird feeders and their bird baths taken down to reduce the kind of congregating that could result with songbirds and thereby increase the opportunity for spreading the bird flu among that type of bird.
Mark, can you talk a little bit about some of the potential consequences of this for our food supply? We're seeing eggs and poultry prices go up. First off, I guess, are eggs and meat, chicken, still safe for consumption?
Yes, I think that's an important point. The consumption of chicken and turkey and eggs is still safe. Flocks that do become infected, those products do not enter the food chain. And so the concern there is minimal. However, as you said earlier, there have been over 34 million birds that have been affected by this. And of course, with that number of birds, many of them being are layer flocks throughout the country, we're no doubt going to see some decrease in availability of product.
And what I understand, this is particularly affecting poultry maintained by hobbyists. So what is the Department of Agriculture advising at this time in terms of containment and prevention? You know, whether people own birds or maybe they're involved, their neighbors might have some backyard chickens or something like that. There's some places in Illinois where that's common.
Yeah, and it really doesn't make a lot of difference whether you're talking about backyard flocks or the larger commercial flocks. Biosecurity is very important. Many of these infections have occurred, or called a point source introduction into the flock, meaning that they've been exposed most likely through a wild migrating bird or waterfowl that has been in the area. It's possible to track the virus around on your footwear if you come in contact with the droppings from a bird. Direct contact with an infected bird is also one method of spread. So for flock owners to be cognizant that when they are working with their flocks, they need to make sure that they have clean footwear. They need to make sure that they use hand sanitizers, that they have clean clothes when they go into their flock. We've discouraged people from visiting other flocks and then traveling back home to work with their flocks. So in addition to, if at all possible, we've encouraged owners to coop their birds as much as possible to cut down on direct exposure.
All right, let me take a moment to reintroduce our conversation. If you're just joining us, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about this contagious strain of avian flu that is devastating birds across the U.S. About 31, 34, I think, one of my guests just said, million, 34 million birds have been killed by this so far. 1 in 10 egg-laying hens across a majority of states. And it's got a pretty severe mortality rate among chickens, 90 to 100%. We're speaking with Dr. Mark Ernst, state veterinarian and division manager for food safety and animal protection at the Illinois Department of Agriculture, and Annette Prince, director of the Chicago Bird Collision Monitors. 800-222-9455 if you have a question about this or you want to comment for our guests. 800-222-9455. Annette, what should someone do if they encounter a sick bird? And let's say this is somebody who, you know, not necessarily somebody who's raising chickens or, you know, works on a commercial farm, but if you see, my own house, we have some geese that pass through the backyard. Is there some steps we should take or what?
Well, the Illinois Department of Natural Resources is asking that if anyone encounters five or more birds dead in one location, to certainly make a report of that to your local wildlife department. That's sort of what occurred up in Baker's Lake. Some people who were just bird watching up in the Barrington area encountered what ended up being hundreds of cormorants, a water bird, again, that nests colonially and has you know, an association in a large group in at Baker's Lake. Those birds were found dead and dying in the parking lot on the edge of the water, and it was, you know, something of great concern. Certainly calling someone to retrieve any injured bird is something that we can help them with, and we would use the kind of precautions depending on the situation and whether this bird is exhibiting symptoms that would make it look as though it had a bird flu infection. So I think people need to just be aware if they see a bird that's showing either it's lethargic, it's looking as though it's inactive, that's a bird that we would, you know, want to be able to bring in and make sure that it's either not spreading what it may have contracted, and that it you know, gets treated or cared for once it's become sick that way.
Mark, I wonder, should we, a lot of us have learned quite a lot about the word spillover in the last couple of years with COVID-19. Should we be concerned about this disease potentially sickening humans or mutating in some form that it might do that?
Well, currently we don't have any indication that the virus is mutating. However, I think we always need to be aware that it is an influenza virus, and influenza viruses do tend to mutate rather frequently. So it's something that we've always got to keep our eye on. Right now, as I said, there's no indication that that's occurred.
And do you have any concerns for the bird population in general? I mean, is this, you know, potentially an event that could threaten some species, and, you know, either regionally or more broadly?
Yeah, I think that's something that Division of Natural Resources, Department of Natural Resources, could probably better answer for you. I know there is some concern with the raptors and such as the bald eagles. There have been a number of bald eagles that have been found dead and have tested and been found positive. So, you know, I think that it's certainly for those species that are highly susceptible, it potentially could be a problem.
There are reports currently that we've heard of as Mark said, of raptors that are feeding potentially on these other birds that are infected. And we've heard of great horned owls and their babies on the ground sick, which is certainly not typical and would indicate that perhaps this is continuing to spread through a lot of the prey the species that are predators on birds that are infected already. So there is a concern that this will impact raptors as well as the prey they're going after.
So Annette, you mentioned obviously a concentration of dead birds. Just a couple of minutes left in our conversation. Are there any other signs to watch out for, you know, that are a little less obvious maybe?
I think Mark might answer that question better.
Sure.
I know that we look for birds that are lethargic. We've heard that sometimes there's a lot of mucus in the eyes, a bird that's inactive and not behaving in a way that you would think with no other physical injury, like a broken wing or a leg or something else that's causing the injury. If it just has a generalized depressed demeanor, I think that's something that needs to be watched and considered as being potentially that. But is there anything else, Mark, that you would mention in that regard?
I think you've covered a lot of it. You know, just general unthriftiness, you know, birds that are just sitting and not moving around, ruffled feathers. You've already described the upper respiratory signs that we may see and some of the swelling around the eyes as well. Production situations, some of the things that they recognize even before some of those other clinical signs are actually a drop in water consumption and feed consumption, as well as for those birds that are egg layers, their egg production drops off sometimes before you'll see those other signs.
All right. One thing I'd like to mention that's encouraging is that
really briefly, yeah, go ahead.
Really briefly is that with rising temperatures and as we get into the months and the weather of summer, we are hoping that that's going to cause this to subside. This virus is stronger during cold weather, and so that's why we're looking towards the summer as a time when we're going to see a decrease and perhaps a diminishment of the presence of this flu.
All right. Well, a positive note with which to end our conversation. I want to thank Annette Prince from the Chicago Bird Collision Monitors and Dr. Mark Ernst from the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Thank you for being with us today on the 21st.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
The 21st is made possible in part by Busey. Whether you're just starting out or upgrading to your dream home, Busey can guide you every step of the way, because they know there's no place like home. Busey, fulfilling dreams since 1868.